listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. Hello, everyone. Hi, James.
Hello.
We're here with Pastor Tom. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Luann. How are you?
I'm so good. So good. So glad to be here with you at the King's Table. This is Kingdom Recovery, and we do a segment once a month. We try to get it in once a month at the King's Table with Pastor Tom from Treasure Coast Victory Center in Fort Pierce. If you're interested, 3212 South US 1, Fort Pierce. And we would love to have you come. We have service on Sundays and teachings on Wednesdays. Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesdays at 7. Because we do some worship, so you can sit for the worship.
Sure.
And then
sure.
Teachings at 7:30. But we would love to have you if you're interested. Just let us know that you heard us on the radio, too.
Of course.
We'd like to welcome you. So the line that, as the song was going on, the intro song, the line that stuck out to me was receiving all that you died to give. And today we're going to be talking about what Jesus restored to man through the kingdom. And before we go into all the thing, I mean, everything, but, you know, more into detail of that topic, I wanted to read today's reading from Pastor Tom's daily reflection, I'll call it. It's scripture and then his thought on the scripture. So I want to read that because we've been talking about the new man identity and you know, the sinful nature versus spiritual nature, you know, the battle in the mind and all of that. So for me, this really spoke to my heart, and I really wanted to share it with the listeners, with you guys listening. So it's from Philippians 2:21. It says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." And Pastor Tom talks about, I'm going to read his commentary, which says, "Can you imagine a person who joins the military and then does his own thing? He gets out of bed when he wants to, he exercises when he wants to, and trains when he feels like it. No, once enlisted, you are now told when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, when to exercise, when to sleep. You hear and obey the command of your superior. In the spirit realm, your superior is Jesus Christ, or the Word of God. He, through it, will tell you how to grow, prepare, and train to be used as a good soldier. The Word will make you familiar with your weapons, your armor, and even your enemy. It will give you the same heart and desire as your leader, Jesus Christ. You will look on prisoners with compassion. You will desire to free those who have been bound for years. You will start to love righteously and hate it. You will start to love righteousness and hate iniquity. You will forget about your own and seek His will. The army will be responsible for your needs, your living quarters, your clothes, and your chow. Why do you worry about what you will eat or drink or wear? It's because you have stopped invading and have started seeking your own. A soldier's focus is on his country and his kingdom, not his own needs. Do not worry about your needs. The government of heaven will take care of everything if you will invade." That's so good because we're talking about what Jesus restored for us. So with that, Pastor, would you like to add to that? And
well, it's so good because that's really the starting point. Mm-hmm. Everybody's seeking their own thing mm-hmm. in the world. having no idea how important it is to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and get right. saved. And this is a time for me where, you know, I never was very traditional. Mm-hmm. So Thanksgiving's gone, and now I'm thankful. And I usually get thankful in December because it was December 21st, 40 years ago Amen. Now this year, that I actually got born again in the kingdom of God. I was almost 30 years old. I was definitely seeking my own, doing my own thing, mm-hmm. doing what everybody does out there. I was basically working for the post office at that time as a letter carrier. I was drinking all the time, partying every night. And basically, I got just to be about 30 years old, and I thought, my God, is this all there is?
Right.
You know, once you get to that sort of get to that start of that middle age, you think, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. 30 years, all I do is go to work, get drunk, come home, feel bad, go to work, get drunk, feel bad. You know, and my wife worked nights at a restaurant, so she wasn't around. So when she came in, you know, I was asleep half the time anyway. And I remember laying on the couch one time, I think it was a Sunday afternoon hungover. You know, I had a good Saturday night. Everything went real well for me. And there was an advertisement that came on the TV that advertised a little book called The Power for Living. Mm. Haven't seen it since, but I saw that book on there, and they said, and the book is free. I said, well, that's got a chance with me, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll mail it to you for free. I said, that's right down my alley, because yeah. I ain't spending a dime on any of this kind of crap. You
right.
know? So anyway, I got that book, and I started reading it, and it had a bunch of NBA coaches in it, and NBA players saying, you know, I make millions of dollars, I'm famous, but that's not the most important thing in my life. The most important thing in my life is relation with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And of course, I thought, sure, that's a good one. You know, give me your job and I'll show you how much I like it, sure. you know. But it just got to me after a while, and I decided then on December 21st to go to a Catholic confessional. And so I needed some kind of change. Something had to happen. Mm-hmm. So basically, I went to the confessional, and I went up to the priest face to face, and had a whole, you know, if you talk about the naughty list, it was large.
Right.
And basically, I started peeling them off, and the priest just stopped me, and he said, don't worry, son, God loves you. Welcome back. And when he said that, the power of God just
Amen.
Hit me and changed my life. And at that time, there was no desire to drink anymore. The emptiness in me that I was filling with all the yeah. junk, you know, that's out there in the world that I thought would help me that really wasn't. It was just sort of like painkillers, you know, that you were taking. And at that time, it totally 100% changed my life. So I went back home, and I'm all excited and everything, and I went back to that book because I'd only read it halfway through. And it had something in there that would probably help everybody out. It was on the word growth in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And it took basically one letter at a time. The G was for go. It said, go to God daily in prayer. And I think that's very important
yeah.
that we go to God
yeah.
daily in prayer. If you're not doing that, you should. It doesn't have to be long. It's just some time to take, you know,
that's
to
right.
pray and ask God. And then the R came in from GR, and the R basically was read the word. And I mean, that's a must for anybody because if you're not going to read the word, you're just going to get saved. You're going to think you're going to heaven, and you're really not going to progress much in the things of God at all. So I decided, well, I got to read the word. And then the O, excuse me, was obey God minute by minute. So I figured what I read, I needed to obey. And that's something that a lot of people do also. They read, they know what to do, but by God, they're not going to do it.
That's right.
You know, when it tells you to forgive, that sounds good, but I don't really want to obey that, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So basically, that was another one. Then W was witness to other people, which I started doing right away. You know, you're really excited when you get born
mm-hmm.
again. And then the T, basically, in growth was trust God. And I had to take my trust off the things of the world onto God. And the final thing then was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I tried to learn about the Holy Spirit. I tried to converse with him on the inside of me. And then he gave me two scriptures that I think are important for everybody. One of them was in Timothy that said, God wills that all be saved and then come into the knowledge of the truth. I think a lot of people just get saved and never do come into the knowledge
right.
of the truth
mm-hmm.
because it's the truth. The Bible says it sets you free, not just getting saved and knowing the truth of being saved. And the other one was that God wanted to give me life, but then again, he wanted to give it to me more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at that time that I want to find out what the Bible tells me I have, what it tells me I am, what it tells me I need to change, and I want to start doing that because I just don't want life. I want life abundantly.
Amen.
And I just don't want to be saved. I want to know the truth and be free.
Yeah.
So I started studying the Word, and then when I see things in the Word, I would adjust to them, write them down, and I would try to make them my goal that day and that week to go ahead and obey God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's true, and that's the thing. It doesn't take, it takes one scripture that you can just meditate on and chew on and just until it gets really part of your lifestyle, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to eat it all up in one sitting. It's just a moment in the morning, Lana. Like, there are certain things that I read, And then, of course, the Word of God. But, you know, and sometimes it, in reading that, he'll lead me to a scripture and that to another thing. So it's just taking a couple of minutes out of your day. You know, when I first started spending time with God, I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, I got so much going on. But he makes a way. Now most of my day is with him and less with doing all these other things that I used to think were so important. You know, and some of them are, and they get done when they're supposed to get done. It's not like anything got neglected because I spent time with God. He just makes more and more, because he wants us with him. He wants us to be, know that he's always with us. See, when I practice being in his presence, it's just him reminding me he's always there. You know, but I have to get into that place where he's sitting in the passenger seat in the car with me all the time, or he's cooking dinner with me. He's everywhere I am because he lives in me. And the only reason we have that privilege to be in his presence is because of what Jesus has done for us and giving us back a morally correct kingdom. The world's kingdom, the world's values are not going to satisfy that, what you were sharing about the empty place.
Yep.
It's not going to come from the world. It can't, because it's a spiritual emptiness and it needs a spiritual filling. And only God can do that. And the Holy Spirit. If you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, and we talked about that last week about reading Good Morning, Holy Spirit, that's a great book. A lot of people that have been saved, I say the unsaved believer, that's one thing that God told me. But even in Kingdom Recovery, they have been saved for a long time. They say they're Christians, but they didn't know the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So they were living that old mentality, that old life, and struggling every day. And now I see them transform too. He's the only one that can transform us.
One.
Man.
Yeah, and when we got born again, of course, we entered the kingdom of God. And if you're going to learn how to operate in the kingdom of God, you have to read the instructions on it. And that's the constitution of the kingdom, which is the Word of God. So I started reading things, but not only to find out what I was doing wrong, but to find out who I was. And there's a big difference between the two. A lot of people stay in what I'm doing wrong, read the Bible, and don't like to read it because it condemns them or convicts them all the time. And they don't want to change some of the things that are in there, so they just give up on the Bible. But I started believing what it said, who I was. And when I started doing that, it helped me get rid of the mess I was in and the things that I was doing. So I'd go to the Bible, and one of the first things I found was in Ephesians chapter 2. I think it's verse 19. Let me see. Yeah, verse 19, it says, now, and I figured that was talking to me now, therefore you are no more a stranger and a foreigner, but you are a fellow citizen with the saints and a member of the household of God.
Hallelujah.
And I said, well, my goodness sakes, apparently I was a stranger to God. I was a foreigner. Now, we all know what a foreigner is. It's somebody who's outside the country. But now I've changed. Now I'm in the family of God. Amen. And not only in the family of God, but I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God, which is an actual country. It's a country of heaven, and basically it's accessible to me now, because if I'm a citizen of it, I can receive the benefits that are for me in heaven right now.
Amen.
Because I'm a citizen. So I started changing my mindset. I didn't want to be a foreigner anymore. I didn't want to be outside the family of God. So I started studying about what's a family of God act like? What does a son of God act like? What does a citizen have? What are some of the benefits that he has? And then in Ephesians earlier, it says, he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. And I thought, well, my God, I've been praying to get all the spiritual blessings now for the last 5 years, for goodness sakes. And right here it says he's already given me those spiritual blessings. So I'm going to quit praying for faith. I've got it. Quit praying for power. I've got it. Quit praying for dominion. I've got it. Quit praying for all these things I'm praying for. Every spiritual blessing belonged to me, but I didn't know it. Amen. So I was praying, oh, God, give me, you know. And if I didn't have a tingle, oh, God, you know, do whatever. And I was just getting nowhere, because you can't buy the things of God in the kingdom of God. They're all freely given to you. So he made me. It wasn't my choice. He took me from being a stranger to being a citizen of God. He took me from being a foreigner to being in the family of God.
Amen.
And I had to adjust my thought life to think like that. And when I did, things started moving in my life.
Amen. And, you know, even like the scripture that I read in the beginning of this about the superior, Who's your daddy? Who's your God? Who's your superior? Because we have a choice. Am I going to look at my father and think he's mean, and, you know, and then feel like I'm always trying to perform or get his love? it's up to me to know who God is, because I can easily create or choose something that makes me feel ooey gooey chewy and be off the on another path. You know, so it's up to us to know what the promises are, mm-hmm. and what he says about who we are in him. If I'm we should be in the image and likeness of, people should see us and say, we resemble, oh, they love God. They act like God, love, you know, in his image. But if I'm angry, resentful, bitter, all those things do not line up with God. I'm choosing other things to be my superior. And then that's what I'll manifest. That's my image. My image will eventually be what my heart is choosing to follow, what I believe, mm-hmm. right? So, and I wrote here, he reestablished us in the kingdom of heaven, in our hearts and our souls. But we need to work out our salvation in the soul. So we can't, our heart, our spirit is 100% born again. But our mind, will, emotion, our soul is something that needs to be walked out daily. We have to make choices daily to line our heart up with our soul, with our mind. Otherwise, we're going to be bumping into walls everywhere we go. We're going to be walking off cliffs and then feel like God is doing this to me. Because if you're a believer, you're going to look to say, well, I believe. I don't understand why this is happening to me. Because you don't understand. And that's the big key. We need to enlighten our souls. Mm-hmm. You know, put the lights on in certain, there are certain rooms. Just because we're born again doesn't mean the lights are on in our finances and our health. Right?
Yeah, and God does get all the blame for everything going on in the world and in my life. I mean, back then, you know, I had a sister who got in an accident, and she was semi-comatose, and that was God. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I was taught, and I was getting drunk because of God. And, I mean, he never sold me any alcohol. I don't know how I thought that was happening, but in my own mind, I thought that was his problem, you know, and every other problem. But I got picked up for DWI, which I didn't, but should have.
Yeah.
I would have said, there goes God again, mm-hmm. treating me bad, not understanding that I was the one making all the bad decisions and the dumb decisions, basically. And when I went to his word, he was telling me to do the opposite.
Right.
And if I just did what he told me to do as a kingdom person, as a citizen, as a son, then my life would have lined up and everything would have been better than it was.
Amen. So true. So I wrote also that intimacy with God through Jesus Christ, living in his family. And who is your king? So the question is, who is your king? Is it money? Is it alcohol? Or is it God, Jesus Christ? Because when it's only through Jesus that we can be in a relationship with God. Without him, we can't. We can't even have the Holy Spirit minister to us. So you must be born again. And we've been talking about this since for a couple of weeks now. It's really the key. Because I believe, and you know, the 12 steps of all 12 steps, I believe all kinds of therapy is really veiled. It's veiled by being born again, like, you know, the process of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and receiving the Holy Spirit. There's a little veil there, and God wants it. He already tore it. He needs people like myself, Pastor James, to come and speak the truth about it, that when we confess ourselves, that once we step into the truth, if I can confess that I had a problem, then Jesus is my savior. He's the one that's defending me. But if I'm going to be in denial, I don't have a problem. You all have a problem. That's what I used to say. Then I'm on the side of the enemy. I'm living in a falsity, and I need to live in the truth. So he can only come in when we're being honest. You want to say something, James?
He just wants to high five me, I guess. I don't know what it is.
That was good.
Yeah, and then, you know, you go through the Bible and you find out all at once that you're the one who has the authority and power to defeat the devil and walk in victory in your life. And it's not up to God to do that. The Bible says we have the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So I had to make a decision, either keep praying to God to do what he put me here to do or do what he put me here to do. So I started basically standing against things that basically were not of God. And I was smart enough to know that lack was not of God, and sickness was not of God, and fear was not of God, and worry was not of God. So I started standing against those things, because if they're not with the kingdom, then I don't want them.
Right.
And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, who is one of your, probably the greatest spiritual blessing that you got out of all the blessings, who lives on the inside of you. He will help you in that, because he brings to remembrance these things in the line of battle. It's like when you're just about ready to worry your head off for something, all at once the scripture will come up that, why do you worry? And you say, I don't know, you know? And basically, it's just, it doesn't have to take a whole scripture. It just takes a little bit, and the Holy Ghost will say, "What?" It's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You just read that yesterday. You just learned that yesterday. How come you're not going to do it now today? And I mean, it's in such a loving way, and basically, it's so good to walk in victory that when you start doing that and it starts working, then you'll start doing it. The Bible says that we have been redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
Well, then, if I'm redeemed from the curse, and I'm in the family of God, and I'm a citizen, and that's one of my rights, I certainly don't want to live under anything that's the curse. I don't want to live under divorce. I don't want to live under any of these, the sickness and the disease and fear and doubt and oppression and depression.
The separation.
I'm not going to live under any of that stuff because it already says he redeemed me.
Amen.
Yet most of us are saying, please redeem me, Lord. And then when we don't feel like we're redeemed, once again, God gets all the credit again for leaving you bound. But it doesn't work that way. Once again, it's more than just being saved. You need to learn the truth.
Yes.
And the truth, which is the word of God, will definitely set you free. God's not really even in that scripture. It's totally up to you what you want to do.
Right. Amen. And in Psalms 23:3, he says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He doesn't want to look bad. You know, like he wants us. He doesn't want us down and out and broke and crippled. Mm-hmm. He wants us whole and healthy, morally, not only physically. Your physical being will eventually start to manifest when your soul is healthy. As your soul prospers and gets healthy, your body will start to manifest health. Mm-hmm. It just happens. I was sharing with Pastor. I went to the dentist, and a year ago they were watching something on in my mouth. There must have been a little, like a future cavity or something. And after we took a whole new set of pictures and everything, he said, your mouth is restoring itself. There's nothing there. I said, no, that's Jesus. Jesus restored my mouth. I mean, the dentist said that to me. I was like, no, that's from being in scripture, from knowing Jesus already healed me, you know? So he was like, yeah, well, there's nothing there, you know? So sometimes, even when we're not knowing it, it's like he restored my language. I stopped cursing. I didn't say one day, I think I'm going to stop cursing. It just started to repair because I was spending more time with him. And then eventually we start to transform because the mind is changing. That's the only way it can happen. It's only through the word of God. There's no other way. We can try. All the therapy in the world can't do it unless they're leading you to Christ. That's how I feel. We might get some phone calls, but that's okay. I'm not saying therapy is bad. But if you're going to see someone or if you're going to do these steps that we share, Christ should be the center of it all. It should be leading you to Christ.
He probably thought you were going to another dentist named Jesus.
Yes!
Probably messed him up.
Yeah.
And even, you know, you can even, a lot of things in the spiritual realm line up with the natural realm. So I'm a father. I've got two boys. All I want for my boys is them to be happy, successful, victorious, on top. I mean, if they're losers and broke and on drugs and everything else, it's not a very good feeling, and it reflects basically on me. Mm-hmm. So God, you know, a lot of things says for my sake.
Right.
In other words, would you straighten up for my sake, you know, and act like somebody? And he even says that he will heal us for his sake.
Amen.
Because he needs us to complete what we were put down here to do and the purpose that he gave us here.
That's right.
But you're not going to complete the purpose until you find out who you are, what he made you to be. And I found out you can tell people what they need to do and you get an amen. You can tell them what they should do. You get an amen. But you tell them who they are and all at once they like boo at you because they don't understand all the things that Jesus provided for each and every one of us. And that's why when this season comes around, you know, I'm just so thankful that he got a hold of me, you know?
Yeah.
Let's face it. And I mean, I've got a story. Your story may be worse, but it doesn't matter because Jesus took care of all the stories.
Amen.
It don't matter how bad yours is, how worse it was. Maybe you double drank me. I don't know. Maybe you did a bunch of other stuff. But Jesus is the door into the kingdom of God all these things, simply accepting what he provided for you on the cross. And he didn't do it because you're so great.
Right.
He didn't do it because you're so wonderful. He did it simply because he loves you unconditionally. Praise God.
Amen. And last week we talked about that, the door of destruction. We're always looking for the gold door to heaven, but it's on the other side of the door of destruction. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the battered door that we need to go through. It's not, nobody said it was going to be easy. Jesus said, it's not, I didn't ever said it was going to be easy. He said that you're going to have trials and tribulations and all that. But on the other side of that is the gold door. It's the kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, but you have to be willing. I wrote here also because we were talking about the sinful nature last week, and we'll probably continue that too. And we're talking about that right now, that believers who are born again still face the dilemma. And that's the thing of the sinful nature. You know, even Paul talked about, why do I do it, you know, what I don't want to do, and I do what I want to do. And, you know, it's that's the struggle. But the more we know about the promises and who we are in Christ, the easier it is to choose to choose life. God tells us the answer, you know, and life is his word. So if you're in turmoil right now, it's a holiday season. It could be over finances. God has scriptures on that. It could be over loneliness. God has scriptures over that. You can speak those scriptures over those circumstances, and eventually you'll find yourself on the other side of it. But if you're not going to do anything, we are his hands, his feet, his mouth, and he wants his mind. We should have the mind of Christ to be operating through our hands, our feet, our mouths. So the more we know him, the more we know his word, the more we can speak it and walk it out in our own lives first.
And whoever you claim to be, you'll be.
Yeah.
And that's one of the real keys. Because after I got born again, I still claimed to be an alcoholic. I'd still be drinking today, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was made a new creation in Christ Jesus, that the old things had passed away and I'd become Amen. New, that I'd been delivered from that. If I still thought I was an angry man, which I was back then, mm-hmm. I would still be an angry man today. So you're never going to get rid of this sinful nature that Jesus already killed right. by claiming it. The more you claim it, the more problems you're going to have, because you are powerful. You have authority, and you can claim whatever you want to be. You can claim to be a victim, or you can claim to be a victor.
Right.
Claim to be poor, or claim to be rich. And I'm not saying you grab it and get it. I'm just saying that you're just claiming what you already got. We're not trying to get this stuff. This stuff was already given to each and every one of us. He already told you he'd meet all your needs according to your riches and glory. So why pray for it? Just let him do it, for right. God's sakes.
Amen.
But you're too busy trying to meet all your needs right. in this earth realm, not knowing that you're connected to heaven because you're a citizen there too, yeah. and you have citizen rights in another world. So I want to receive stuff not from this world. I've lived there for 30 years. That was no fun. In these next 40 years, I want to receive from heaven. Whatever he's promised me from the spirit realm, that's what I want to receive. I want peace. I've got it on the inside of me. Joy, yeah. it's on the inside of me. Victory, it's on the inside of me. And it's just like, you know, I know some guys, because I'm not a handyman. Never was. I couldn't fix anything. I Google some things and try, but it just ends up worse, and then I have somebody else come in and do it anyway. So
and then they say, why did you touch it?
Yeah, and I know some people who can come in and they can fix. I don't care if it's plumbing. I don't care if it's electric. They can come in and fix it. Well, we need to be the same way in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What any problem anybody has, is it sadness you have? I've got the remedy.
Amen.
Are you worrying? I've got the remedy. Right. Is it? So you can be, you know, a jack of all trades and a master of none in the spirit realm, mm-hmm. along with the natural realm. And praise God, it's more fun in the spirit because you're helping people a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And in the natural, you know, you can do the same thing. But I'd rather be in the spirit. I'd like to be in the natural, but it's too late now. I'm just going to pay people, you know, to come in and do what they want to do. So I'm pretty much done with that at this point.
Yep. So we're light bearers, right? And knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, that's what we bring wherever we go. We're truth bearers. If the truth is inside of us, then not only were we made free in those places of where we were believing lies, now that we know the truth, we're free. We can help others be made free, because that's what God wants. That's his will in us if we allow him. If we allow him to operate through us, we have to be in agreement with him. That's what it is. Our will and his will need to line up and be in agreement. Then miracles happen. When man and God are one, miracles happen. Jesus was an example of that. He didn't say these long prayers. He laid hands on people. He cast them out. He did very simple, because he was in true agreement. He never thought about it. It was just the way it was. That's who God is. And that's who is in us. So.
And in Colossians, it says in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, mm-hmm. who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And verse 12 says, giving thanks because he's already made us able to receive of our inheritance.
Hallelujah.
Well, that tells me two things. First of all, I've got one.
Mm-hmm.
Or how could he make me able to receive all these things if I don't have them? And I've got them, but he's also given me the ability to receive all these things in the spirit realm. So I just started receiving them. Mm-hmm. You know, do you walk in faith all the time? I'm a faith man, praise God. That's who I am. Yeah. Are you peaceful? I am the most peaceful man you ever run into. Mm-hmm. Ever have bad days? No, I ain't got no more bad days. Mm-hmm. We don't have bad days in the kingdom of God. We have them over there in the kingdom of darkness, but I'm not going back over there any. Do you worry? Oh, I should say not. I don't worry. Jesus said, why do I worry? And I'm not going to do that anymore. But if you say, I'm a worrier, we've all worried. My mom worries. My dad worries. I'm even a better worrier than they are. It's going to be hard to say I'm going to stop worrying than claim mm-hmm. to be a worrier. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. You have a right to claim whoever you want to be, and you need to claim who God says you are rather than who grandma says you are, your mom says you are, or
Amen.
Anybody else says you are.
And, you know, and what Pastor's saying is not that there won't be temptation. There's things, circumstances. People might say something, and there's a choice to be made at that moment. You can choose to agree with that, or you can say, I'm going to stay in alignment and in agreement with God's word, with who God says I am. What he says he provided for me. But it doesn't mean that you won't have temptations. You know, there might be some things that are coming at you, but you have the responsibility. I have the responsibility to know what I'm going to stand on, to know who I'm standing with, you know, and it's, and that's the battle, you know, in Philippians 2, 12, 13, we were reading that we must work our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that's spirit, soul, and body. He's talking about our spirit, soul, and body. If it's God, that's spirit to spirit. He's working in me, right? In me is spirit. Both to will is my soul, and to do is my action. So I have to give him all of me, my spirit, soul, and body, so that he can have his way. His will be done here on earth. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave us the ability to be able to do that. There was a time there was no one could do that. Only Jesus. You know, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we are able. And God said that. He said, do you think I'm able? He gave us the ability. The Holy Spirit, the same spirit that's in Christ, is in us. Mm-hmm. And Jesus Christ is not going to come down to do it again. He gave us the Holy Spirit that ministers to us Jesus, what Jesus is being ministered to by the Father. So this is the chain of being one and whole with him.
I'm going to give you the next 25 minutes for rebuttal, James.
I got a whole bunch of stuff I'm waiting to hear. No, yeah. You're doing good. I'm just usually stuff's coming and it's just the only thing I did think earlier was about grace. You know, grace is the divine influence upon the heart, the reflection seen in the life, and it's God giving us the power to overcome. And if we're a lot of people get saved and they're really trying to follow what it says to do in the Bible on their own strength, and they're running a lot of problems. I just can't get free of this or that, and they just really need to press more into seeking him, his amen. Face, worshiping him, thanking him for setting him free.
Amen, amen. So I wrote here also about the healthy soul, the spirit nature. It's his will be done. It's who I am. It's when Jesus said, who do you say I am? It's a personal who I am. Is I am in me, right? It's his will, his emotions, his thoughts, his mind, his idea in union with mine. I still have a soul. But I have to be in agreement. I get to choose who I'm going to listen to. And in a sinful nature, this is the unhealthy soul. This is the unhealthy mind, will, emotion. It's who I am. You know, like Pastor was saying before, what I believe I am is who I'm going to be. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. Do you believe that, you know, you're holy, you're righteous, or do you believe you're a sinner? All these things. And then your mind, will, and emotion will be in agreement with that. And that's what will manifest out of your life. And that's an unhealthy soul. And Jesus came to restore our soul, our thinking, our mind, so that we can live free in the body once we get born again.
And you have to think of your transformation as not only being born again, but you actually entered a different kingdom. You're under a different government now, actually a different country. Mm-hmm. So even in the natural realm, if you decided to move, let's say, to Mexico, when you got there, you would have to change to line up with the way they do things, the way they spend money, what their money's worth, their language, their morals, their culture. In order to fit in, you would have to make some adjustments. If you moved to Australia, it'd be different again. You had to change everything. Well, people move and get into the kingdom of God and don't even understand they're in a different country.
Right.
So they still talk like they did the old way. They walk like they did the old way. They think like they did the old way. And they end up getting the same results, which wasn't good. And basically, when you start changing, let the Holy Spirit change your language so you talk God talk. You react to situations the way God reacts to situations. Right. You started to think like God. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And that's true. But he gave us the word.
Right.
So his thoughts would become our thoughts and his ways would become our ways. So I'm going to have to learn how to be a kingdom citizen. I actually changed countries, basically. Okay. I'm a citizen in both, but I want to participate in the kingdom of God because it's a lot better country than the one I was in before. Amen. I mean, we've had people for the last how many years trying to get across the southern border in America. Why? Because America's worse than the country they're coming from? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get it a better job, a better place to live, a better this. I mean, they'll get shot. They'll get arrested. They'll do anything just to get in a better country. Jesus comes along, gives us a free, better country.
Right.
We get born again, get in. Then we want to live in the old country simply because we want to adapt to the kingdom of God and what it calls us to do and what it wants us to do. So basically, we're living like on a fence. One time when I was a kid, we used to chase the pigs on the farm. That was always fun. You'd throw stuff at them, and then they'd chase you. And one time I got back, and I was a smaller kid, and we threw pigs at one of the big ones came after us, and we got back to the thing, and we were all getting over the fence. When I got over the fence, there's barbed wire on the top, and I got caught right in the middle. And here comes this pig at me, but I'm caught in the middle of this barbed wire. It's stuck in my jeans, and I can't get on either side. You know, I'm panicking like a little kid would. So finally, I just rolled off to the right and ripped my pants. Mm. Well, this is the kind of life a lot of Christians are living right now. They got ripped pants. Yep. They're stuck on the barbed wire. You know, the enemy's coming. They don't know what to do. Mm. But you've got to get in the kingdom, discover it, find out what it is, start flowing it, read the Constitution, find out the morals of it because they're different than this world. And their values are different than this world. It's all different. And there's only one person making decisions in the kingdom of God, and it's not the president, it's not Congress, it's not the senators, it is the king. And the problem is if you don't like him, he's not going to change him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not going to get together with everybody else and try to vote him out. That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. You've just got to line up with what he tells you to do because it's best for you.
Yes, it's best for you. And if you don't, that's where the consequences are. It's not because God's doing it. It's because, first of all, if you're against the king, then you're not going to get the benefits of being with the king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just it's common sense. You know, so that's just anything. Even when I go to the jails, I said, he's not going to tell the enemy, if I'm living according to the way the enemy, the devil, you know, unforgiveness, bitterness, selfishness. Those are the things that line me up with my father. It would be Satan if I chose to live according to that, right? The king, God, who's living in forgiveness, love, service, patience, tolerance, is not going to tell the enemy, the one who wants to turn that into unforgiveness, his mysteries, his secrets, his promises. He's not going to give him blessings like that because what are they? They're not in his namesake. And that's the bottom line with that. And I was reading Mark 2, 1 through 12 today. I don't know. I was reading it. It was about when the friends brought the paraplegic to Jesus and he was in the house and they lifted the roof. Well, I got like an image of lifting your mind, like opening up your head.
Mm-hmm.
And coming down, because we're all paralyzed before we know the word. It's like, I don't know what to do, or I've been doing it wrong, and I'm living like crippled. So, and how it takes friends sometimes, leaders, friends, to help you open the mind and change things. Let him heal your mind. And then he healed him. Because for me, the roof was like opening up the roof of your mind and letting him, his hand, his word, touch you, touch your mind, your will, and you will be healed. It's a promise. Mm-hmm. But it's him. It's his word. The light, the life is the word. Jesus is the word. It's only through Jesus.
The story of blind Bartimaeus is another one because he's crying out to God. You know, he wants to see. And, of course, all his friends are saying, shut up. You ain't going to see. You don't deserve to be seen. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, he kept crying out anyway. And then Jesus said, come. And when he did, he took off his cloak, which basically in that day told people that you were blind. Yeah. That's why you wore the cloak. And he threw the cloak away from him, which tells me that he wasn't going to be blind anymore even before he got to Jesus. Amen. He had already made up his mind. Yeah. He was going to change identities before Amen. He got there. And when he got there, Jesus said, see, and he saw right away. Why? Because he was willing to change his identity. Now, he could have wore that cloak, and Jesus could have prayed for him. He could have said, I'm still blind Bartimaeus, and he probably would have remained blind. Yeah. But he got rid of the cloak, and it just showed you how much he had faith in what Jesus was going to do. And by that, he got rid of his old identity and moved on, you know, so that he could see.
And that's what it is. It's faith activates. It's faith that activates the word in your life. If I could say things and say things, but it's when I truly get the revelation that I can start living in it. Because even though I'm saying it, I could still be living the opposite way. But it's when I say it and I believe it, the faith in believing it, even though I can't see it, is what activates the manifestation. I want the manifestation before, you know, a lot of people. I mean, I'm going to be, especially in the beginning, I wanted to see it first. I wanted to manifest mm-hmm. first, and then I'll believe it.
Yep.
And that's not the way the kingdom is. The kingdom is the opposite of the natural. So whatever you're doing in the natural, do the opposite. And you'll have spiritual rewards in life. So that when it appears like lack in your heart, you have abundance. Because on the other side, there's nothing in the world that compares to the spiritual riches. There's nothing in the world that compares to spirit. And when you know you have spiritual riches, then it doesn't matter what you're lacking here, because you have it already on the other side of that door. You just have to just make a decision where you want to live. Do you want to live on this side, or you want to go on the other side where the kingdom is? And you can live the kingdom right here on earth. You don't have to wait till you die. You can experience all the promises right here on the earth, right now, as it is in heaven here on earth. That's what God wants for us. First of all, the heaven's not for us. There's going to be a new earth. So we're designed to be here on this earth in this flesh. And he made the best possible ability for us to be able to sustain and overcome under this flesh, which is cursed, basically. But he gave us a beautiful gift, the Holy Spirit, so that we can do anything under the curse. We can do anything and overcome it, even though it's around. We don't ever have to live by it anymore. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. This flesh was going to live forever, and when we're raised back up, it will live forever.
A new, praise the Lord.
Hopefully better than this.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he says what age do you want to stay at?
Yeah, that's probably in there someplace in the Old Testament or whatever.
Yeah. What you feel and say about yourself, your identity, like Pastor Tom said, is so crucial in the whole thing. Yeah, the enemy has worked you over your whole life, and to start recognizing what's not even you that you're thinking, you know, start reading the Word, and that's the real you in the Word, who it says you are.
And after you start reading the Word and obeying the Word, sooner or later you'll have to start trusting God.
Yeah.
And people think they're trusting God, and they're not. I remember when I first got in the ministry, and I found out that you actually needed money to be in the ministry, and it wasn't exactly flowing in, you know, and I went to God and said, you know, you said you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory, blah, 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 blah. And I'd go back the next day and say, hey, you said you meet all my needs according to your riches and glory, blah, blah, blah. And I'd go back the next day and I'd say, he said you meet all my needs according to you. And the Holy Ghost spoke up one time and he just said, how would you like your son to treat you like that? Mm. I said, what? How would you like your son to treat you like that? He asked her for lunch money on Monday for Friday. And then he comes on Tuesday and said, Dad, I need lunch money. Dad, I need lunch money on Tuesday night. Dad, I need lunch money on Wednesday. You probably slap him, he said. Well, you don't. He don't trust you? He'll ask you one time. You'll say, you'll have the money Friday, and he'll never ask you again. He said, that's because he trusts you more than you trust me.
Amen.
I thought, gee whiz, I better make an adjustment here because I'm not doing very good.
Amen.
But I was at the point where if I could bug him enough, you know, if I can just bug him enough, he'll say, all right, give that guy some money. He's driving me nuts. But it doesn't work that way. That's not really faith, I don't think. I can't find that description in the Bible anywhere. But, you know, that's the way it was. So that's when I got in the scriptures and find out that I was a tither. And the windows of heaven were open, and every time the thought started coming to me of us going broke, losing our house, car, boat, everything else. Of course, we didn't even have a boat, but we lost that too. I mean, basically, I came to a point to where I just had a counter. Nope, I'm a tither.
That's
my needs are met. Hallelujah. He meets all my needs.
That's it.
People come to the church and say, how you doing? You just bought this building for $600,000. God meets my needs according to his riches and glory. COVID comes around. People are coming to church. How are you guys doing? God meets my needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen.
And I mean, most people who are upset at that time won't call you back if you use scripture. They don't want to talk to you anymore. They were looking for you to be
to
being worse than they were so they could feel better about themselves. Yeah. But I just stayed on that and stayed in it. And you know what? God's faithful, and we sing songs, you know, oh, faithful, what a faithful God we are. We need to sing some about us being faithful.
Amen.
Because we're the ones who are unfaithful.
That's right.
God's not the problem. He's always faithful, and we don't have to tell him he's faithful because I think he already knows it. I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he don't. But we need to find out that we need to be faithful to what? His promises and what he has said in his word.
That's right.
You know, another thing is there's a scripture a lot of people go to about the woman coming before the unjust judge, and then she was coming daily, wanting restoration of her land, I believe. And I'm paraphrasing, but the judge said, I fear not God, I fear not man, but lest this woman weary me the rest of my life, he gives her the land. And Jesus uses that, but that is not pertaining to something that he's promised us in the word. And that's where people get mixed up. They start begging and begging, thinking they're following that scripture. And that scripture is not relating to promises. It's our faith that moves the hand of God. If it was the begging, the hospitals would clear out on their own. I mean, because people are begging God every time they're in the hospital.
Because she wasn't begging. She was telling him, this is what this belongs
but she
to
was
me.
Every
but,
day.
Yeah, it's okay.
In,
because she was just proclaiming what was already hers. And that's the difference, because she was saying, no, this is what belongs to me. And it's like almost going to the enemy, and we have to keep saying that. Mm. Like, you know, what reminded me, Pastor, was like when people were coming to you, or people at the bus stop when Rocco was little, you know, when there was a cold going around, I could either chime in. Oh yeah, COVID, not as many people are coming. I can go into that, or I can say, no, this is what God has said. This is what I'm going to claim. You know, and the same thing I think with that is she knew what she was entitled to. And she just kept going, and he got weary because she wasn't giving up what was already hers, what belonged to her. And I think that's what the moral of the story really from the way I read it, but.
I just need to go back.
Go ahead. Go.
No, I don't know. Yeah. I need to go back because I didn't. Yeah. I thought she left and kind of was asking her to restore him to restore it. I didn't think she was claiming it was hers, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And first of all, they called him an unjust judge. So that eliminated God from the whole thing to begin with. Then at the end, it said, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? So the whole teaching was about, you know, having faith in what was going on there. But people do use that. I've heard it preached already.
Yes, me too.
That, you know, you keep begging God enough and he'll finally give up and you'll wear him out and everything else. So,
and then he's just saying, I already did it. Mm-hmm. So you're amiss in prayer when you're begging for something that's already given to you. It's almost like he gives you the bottle of water and you're not drinking it. And I need water, I need water. And you're just holding this bottle, or it's sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, I'm thirsty, I just need water. Can you give me water? And he's like, it's already there. I supplied a whole case of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up to us to recognize it's there. Sometimes we don't even know it's there because we're so busy looking for the water everywhere else or whatever it is that we're thinking will satisfy us. And it's already right there for us. And then to know to open it and drink it is
Yeah, well, you can believe it's there and still die of thirst.
Yes.
If you don't drink it.
That's right.
What do you think if you drink that water? If I believe I drink that water, yeah, I'm going to live.
Right.
Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe it. And then, do you really believe it? I believe it. But if you never open the bottle, you're going to die believing it anyway and not doing it. So believing basically is an action word, thank God.
Yeah.
Whenever we believe something, we should be doing, you know, what we say that we believe. So,
yeah.
And that's part of receiving things. You know, I believe, I receive. And it's hard for us to receive the many wonderful things that he provided for us because we've got such a low self-esteem of ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we were sinners. We were, and the one thing, the prodigal son is a good example of that.
Mm.
I mean, the kid had everything. He had it made. You know, Adam sinned. We all ended up in the pig pen. Now we're coming out of the pig pen, going back to God. We get back to God. He's glad to see us. We're not so glad to see him, but we need help.
Yeah.
And then basically all at once, I'm just a sinner. Don't give me anything.
Right.
I'll feed the pigs here. And that's our mentality that's got to be switched,
mm-hmm,
that we have in our mind here. And God's trying to give us the robe and the ring and the shoes and everything else. And we're fighting him on it because we're not worthy. Let me tell you, everything you get from God, you weren't worthy to get.
That's right.
So you might as well give up on the old, I'm not worthy right now, because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking truth there.
Amen.
But it's not based on your worthiness. It's based on his unconditional love for each and every person who's on this earth right now that has a purpose and a plan for him right here. So God loves you. I don't care how bad you're doing things out there, how messed up you are. You can turn your life around today. You don't have to wait for a month. You don't have to wait till, you know, Lent season so that you got time to repent. You don't have to wait till Jesus is raised from the dead for the 9,452nd time.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait till Christmas till he's born again. Every day God is there and he's on your side and wants the best for every single person out there. I don't care. You can make an adjustment in any part of your life. Just go to him, ask him, amen, about it. The power of God can change your life in a matter of seconds. It did mine in a matter of, you know, three little words. Welcome home, son. God loves you. It wasn't a 45-minute service. It certainly wasn't me reading everything I did wrong for 15 years, or we'd still be in the confessional today. So that didn't happen. But yeah, he's ready and able. You don't understand how much he loves you and how much he cares for you. And that's part of the problem, you know?
Yeah. It was like a lightning bolt for me, too. It was just all of a sudden the lights went on and I knew. It felt that way. Like I went from actually speaking against God to a correction that opened my eyes, internal eyes. Like, oh my God. There was an awareness that happened inside of me that I didn't, it was just in the midst of saying, well, you know, he's like Mozart. You know, Elvis Presley. And then what?
Yeah.
You know, so much more. So much more. Praise God.
I said it a lot, I think, on here, but we look at we're dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace, and we're actually children that God created. It would be like a king's son getting kidnapped at 2 years old and raised by thieves and robbers and grows up and at 30 years old finds out he's this heir to the kingdom. And the king brings him in and like, this is all yours. And he wakes up in the middle of the night and he's over there eating out of the garbage can. Like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm not worthy. No, you're my son. Don't you understand? That was, you were stolen. I mean, we were stolen by the enemy and we've took on this whole identity that wasn't even ours. We are sons and daughters of the Most High.
Amen.
And we got to change our whole thought life.
That's right. That's right. He said he didn't come to bring peace, but the sword of the Spirit, to cut through all those things that are dividing us from him, you know, keeping us from him, to cut through it all so that we can be joined to him. So amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Watch that goofy movie, what's called Trading Places.
Yes.
Watch that movie and you'll learn a lot, because Eddie Murphy was a bum, man. He was on the street and they decided to switch their nephew for him, mm-hmm, and make him rich. And they bring him inside and they say, all this stuff is yours. And of course, he said, oh, yeah, sure, it's mine. They say, no, we're bringing you in here. All this stuff is yours now. It belongs to you. Okay. And every time they turn her back, he steals something.
Yeah.
And finally they say, you're just stealing your own stuff. And he said, what do you mean I'm stealing my own stuff? He said, it's your stuff now, but you're trying to steal your own stuff. And we're the same way sometimes in our mental
stuff.
Like,
how could this be mine? Yeah. All of this that he gave me.
Yeah, how could all this possibly be mine? So you want to steal it somehow, but it already belongs. Or you want to earn it, but it already belongs to each and every one of us. Praise God.
That's right.
Yeah.
So true. So, you know, him, he paid at the cross. He paid the price for sin, the one that we were for us, to reconcile us with God. It's so amazing. and his resurrection conquered the power of death. And that's when he went down to the center of the earth, he got the keys back so that we can live. And we don't have to fear death because we have eternal life, all because of what he's done for us. And we're living like we're trying to fight death, defeat death. It's already been done because we're so wanting to live another day here on earth. You know, it doesn't work. If you know the spiritual riches of the kingdom, the worst thing that can happen in life is that you enter into the kingdom spiritually, you know, without this vessel, which isn't bad.
The second you die, you realize you're not dead.
Amen. Oh, that's right. It's a transition.
This is live as ever alive. You really knew that, you wouldn't fear death.
That's right. Amen. And if you're living as a citizen, as a son or daughter of the kingdom, of the king, in the kingdom, then you won't even know when you transferred. You'd just be in his presence. You'd be like, oh, just a continuation of being in the kingdom. So.
And Jesus too, basically. You know, we're in the Christmas time, and that's fine, and you have the crib scene and all that. That's fine, but I want to remind you that Jesus is not in the manger anymore. He's not a little baby anymore. He's not somebody that was trying to be protected from everybody from coming in and taking care of him and killing him and everything else. He is a resurrected King and Lord of all right now. Hallelujah. So we don't want to regress in our minds. And even when we celebrate birthdays, I mean, when I celebrate Luann's birthday, I want to see her baby pictures. Right. I want to see Luann now, for God's sakes, what she's done, what she's accomplished, what she did, for goodness sakes. Not, oh, she was such a cute little baby way back then, and look how chubby she was and all that. No, it's basically, that's not who it is. Jesus is not in the manger anymore.
Amen.
He is Jesus Christ, and he wants to be Lord of your life, and you can do that simply by asking him to be Lord of your life. If you did it, you don't think it took hold, do it again. Praise God. Do it from your heart, not from your head. And your whole life will start to be transformed in a matter of seconds.
All these people put the mangers in the front yard. I always want to do like you said and put him with a fire coming out of his eyes.
Amen.
Go ahead. We got 1 minute left.
Yeah. So, Pastor, you know, we have 1 minute. We'd like your
thoughts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together today. We thank you that people who have heard this message now would be seared in their hearts, that they would come to understand just how much God truly loves each and every one of them. No matter what they're doing, no matter what trouble they may be causing, no matter what they may be in, all that doesn't make any difference because Jesus' love covers all of that and takes care of all that. So you have an opportunity today, just draw in, receive him as your Lord and Savior today. He loves you with all his heart. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God pulling them in one by one. We thank you for a change this day, even before the 25th. We're going to have a change today.
Amen.
You're going to be able to make that opportunity right now. We thank you for what you did during this time. We give you the praise and glory for everything that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen. So Merry Christmas, everyone. We won't be live next Friday, but we will be back again the week after. Shalom, shalom. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
The world is all aglow again with all